morning.
So over the last few months, we've all, in both the kids and adults times, been following a series looking at discipleship, which has all been about what it is to follow Jesus, to know him and to become like him and do the things that he did. And we've looked at some practices that are more personal, things like prayer and reading the Bible and Sabbath, and some that were more kind of outward focused, such as generosity and family and evangelism. And today we're finishing off our series, at least for the adults. We've got one more session for the kids next week, but we're going to be looking at serving. Now, as we've already said, these practices are all about us becoming more like Jesus. They're not a list of things that we should be doing to be a good Christian, because our faith isn't based on what we do, is it? Thank goodness. Thank God for that. It's based on what Jesus has already done on the cross. And we're going to be thinking about that a bit later as we come into communion. But as Christians, we're all on a journey of becoming more like Jesus, aren't we? And as we follow him and we walk with him in our lives. And these practices that we've been looking at over these last few months help us on that journey of becoming more like Jesus. But the starting place is always him and his example to us. So, with the people around you, and this is for kids as well, I'd like you to chat about the following. Where in the Bible do we see Jesus serving other people? Where in the Bible do we see Jesus serving other people? So you need to actually talk to each other. Where do we see Jesus serving other people? Okay, finish up your conversations. Thank you. So, where did we think about everybody? When Jesus cooked breakfast for the disciples. Yeah. Anything else, Emily? The Last Supper. Yeah. What about the Last Supper, particularly? Anything there? Pardon? When he gave them the wine and the bread. Yeah. Anything else? Washing their feet. Yeah. Anything else? Dying on the cross, that's quite a big one, yeah. Feeding 5,000 people, yeah, great, well done. Oh, go on. Water into wine, yeah, there's lots of examples in there where Jesus served other people. But perhaps the most famous story is, you've already said it, when he washes the disciples' feet. So we're going to have a little bit of a look at that today. There is an activity table at the back for any children if I'm going on too long, but I will need you in a moment, so you need to stay listening, kids, okay? So we're going to read Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, which is in John 13. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around them. Now, who's got stinky feet today? Anyone going to admit it? Oh, we've got a few, okay. I'm not going to wash anyone's feet today, I'm sorry. Okay, that wasn't an offer. But back in biblical times, stinky feet were a whole other level of stinkiness, okay? Because they wore sandals or they went barefoot. The streets were dirty and dusty and might have had animal waste in them. And so they were tramping through all this all day and their feet probably looked something like that. I don't think any of your feet, hopefully, don't look like that this morning. And so it was customary that when someone would arrive at someone's house, the first thing that would happen is a servant would wash your feet for you. And that was a way that they welcomed people into their home. And so Jesus and his disciples have arrived at this room for the Passover, and there's no servants there that we're told about. And they've all got dirty feet. They might have looked like this. But none of the disciples have offered to wash anyone else's feet. No one wants that unpleasant task. They're too proud. They're all probably thinking, well, why should I do it? But we just read that it says that Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up and he washed their feet. He had nothing to prove, did he? He knew who he was. He was secure in his value as God's son. And so even though Jesus is literally God, the holy, powerful God that we've just been singing about, he was willing to take the role of a servant. And this is an act of humility and love, isn't it? We read, he had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. By washing their feet, he's showing them love. And this even included Judas, who Jesus knows is going to betray him that night and hand him over to be killed. It even includes Judas. Serving people isn't about whether we think people deserve it or not, or whether we feel like it. It's an act of sacrificial love that Jesus showed in this way. And as we serve others, particularly in the less glamorous roles where we don't maybe receive honor or recognition, Jesus grows that same heart of humility in us that he demonstrated. A few verses later, it says this. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." It's pretty clear, isn't it? I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And previous to this, the disciples have been having an argument with each other about who is going to sit at God's right hand in heaven. Okay, they've been bickering about who's the most important. And this showed, doesn't it, their hearts weren't in that place of humility. They think they're the most important, which is shown when they're not willing to wash each other's feet. They were seeking honor rather than pursuing humility. And so Jesus gives them this really clear example and this really clear instruction. He's saying, you know that I am Lord, but look what I'm willing to do for you. Go and do the same. Serve each other. Don't think that you're better than anyone else. And we're also Jesus' disciples, aren't we? If we've decided to follow him with our lives, we're his disciples. And so instructions given to those early disciples are instructions given to us too. And so we are instructed to serve each other and the world too. And there's lots of different ways that we can do that, isn't there? But this morning we're just going to be thinking about how we can serve each other as part of God's family here in the church. Right, I need a child to come and help me. I'm going to pick... Don't worry, the rest of you can come in a minute. I will need all of you. Right, come on over here. I hope you're feeling strong. Is that all right? Come on, right. I would like you to pick up this box of bricks and hold it above your head. Please. Come on, get those muscles out. Come on, pick it up. Come on. Come on. Oh, no. Okay, don't actually do it. I didn't expect to be able to get off the floor, to be honest. You're on your feet. Right, okay. Maybe you can't do it. Maybe we need a friend. Okay, let's have... come on then, Christy. Right. See if you together can lift this box. I want it right above your head. Okay. Oh, no, that's going to be too hard. You're pretty strong. Okay, put it down. Okay. Can I have all the rest of the kids up now? Right, I would like you to go and give... No. I'd like you to go and give the blocks out to everybody. Okay? Some people might need more than one. I don't know how many there are. Go and give everyone a block. Don't try and carry too many. Well done. Right, give us a wave if you've not got a block yet. If you're not, oh, there's a few people who haven't got a block. We might not have enough, I don't know. Okay. Well done. Okay. Oh, we've got one person there without a block, Zane. There we go. Okay. Right, thanks, kids. You can go and sit down. You can give people an extra one if you want. Or you haven't got one. You can have one too. Debbie hasn't got one. There we go. Okay. Everyone hold your blocks up in the air. There we go. Well done. Okay. You can put them down there. We've got a baby in the air as well. Well done, kids. Okay. So, could you lift the box above your head by yourself? No. You had a pretty good try. I was quite impressed. You've obviously been working out at home. Even with Christy helping, you guys managed to get it, you know, a good way off the floor, but it wasn't right up in the air, was it? But what happened when we shared the bricks out? Could we all lift them? Let's have them up in the air again. We can all lift them. That's right. Okay. Thank you. It's like this. You haven't got to hold them up for the whole service. Don't worry. It's like this when we gather together. So for us to meet here on a Sunday, to be welcomed at the door, to have a cup of tea, to have a chair to sit on, to have the music that we can hear, words on the screen, to have our kids learning about Jesus in kids' church, requires lots of us to serve in different ways. And if we only have a few people doing these roles, it's like Esther and Christy trying to lift this box on their own. It quickly becomes too much. The box is too heavy. People burn out. They get too weary. And you know, as we've got bigger as a church, the box of bricks has got bigger. There's more cups of tea to serve on a Sunday. There's more chairs to put out. There's more kids in kids' church, which is a wonderful thing. But it also means that the box of bricks gets bigger and it's too heavy for just a few people to carry. And we need all of our teams to grow so that we continue to serve each other well. When everyone does a little bit, when everyone holds their block, one or two blocks, the load is lighter for everyone and we spread it out amongst everyone and the load is easier to carry. Now, this is not just about filling gaps on a rota, okay? It's about our heart attitude and growing a culture of showing sacrificial love to each other through our service. And we're a family, aren't we? We're a family as God's people. And when families function well, they care for each other well and serve each other well, not out of a place of obligation or resentment, but out of love. Serving on a Sunday requires some sacrifice, doesn't it? It might mean an earlier alarm on a Sunday morning, or getting home a bit later, or a bit more tired than normal. It might mean missing out on some time chatting with our friends or playing. But what we give out in our time and our energy, we gain in so many ways. And we're blessed with lots of people who serve in so many different ways in this church. And I asked a few people this week what they like about serving in church, and this is what they said. Some of these were children as well, which is lovely. It's my way of showing God that I love him and I love my church family. I like that I end up chatting to people I maybe wouldn't otherwise end up speaking to. It makes me feel part of the family. Also, I love that I'm enabling my brothers and sisters to freely worship the Lord without distraction. I feel it an honor to serve alongside God's family and an enormous sense of belonging. It's fun and helpful and does not feel like work. That was one of our children. Serving seemed the ideal way to integrate myself into the church family and to get to know people when I first joined, and I've enjoyed it ever since. What great quotes they are, and it shows, doesn't it, such a heart of humility and love towards the church family from these people. And when we serve gladly and joyfully, we grow in grace and humility. And for me, this shift happened when Airedale started. When we were all back together in Shipley, I used to be in the kids' team. And to be honest, I used to dread being on the rota. I literally used to wake up with this feeling of like dread in my stomach. And I saw it as a duty to serve, and I did it because it was the right thing to do. But it wasn't done with joy. And that's because God wasn't planting us in Shipley. It wasn't our family. He was getting us ready to plant here. And so here it's different. Airedale is my family. You guys are my family. And it's where my heart is. And so serving here doesn't feel like a duty. It's a joy. And for me, serving on a Sunday is just as much part of my worship as coming to listen to us preach or to sing songs. It's just as much part of my Sunday morning. Serving is not about filling a rota. It's about a heart attitude. And as we follow these practices, they help us to be more like Jesus, which he so clearly demonstrated in the story that we read. And I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who serves. I'm not going to, you know, get you up the front or anything, but you know who you are, especially in the unseen roles. God sees you and he knows your heart. Thank you. And our Sunday mornings wouldn't happen without you. We currently have opportunities for people to join all of our teams. And here are all our practical serving teams that we have on a Sunday morning. Obviously, there's lots of ways of serving outside of these as well. But these are our Sunday morning teams. And they all have space for new people to join. We particularly need more people for welcome and setting up and food coordination and the kids team. But all of the teams are open to new people. Perhaps you're new and you haven't joined a serving team yet. And as several of the quotes said, it's a great way to get to know other people better when you're working in a team together. Perhaps you're already serving on one team every 4 or 6 weeks, and actually, you could join a second team every 4 or 6 weeks too. And kids and youth, this is for you as well. There's no age limit on this. You're just as much part of the church family as anybody else, and several of our children already serve on a Sunday in different roles. Welcome, refreshments, projector. He's not here today, but I love seeing little Daniel carrying tables from the classroom on a Sunday when we have food. He's 5, but he's so determined that he will carry those tables. And he's doing his bit to serve the church family, and he seems to be having fun while he's doing it. So parents, we'd encourage you to chat to your children about where they might like to serve. We all want our kids to grow up to be humble and grace-filled people, don't we, who demonstrate love and sacrifice, and this is just a great way to help them with that. Now, we do realise that for obvious reasons, not everyone can serve on a Sunday for different reasons, and that's absolutely fine. We're a family, and we all have different parts to play. And so we're going to briefly now look at a couple of other ways that we can serve each other within God's family away from a Sunday rota as well. The first one is hospitality. In 1 Peter it says, "Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay." Sharing our homes is a great way to serve each other. And remember, hospitality isn't about entertaining people or about fancy food. It's about offering community and friendship. And hospitality is a really important part of our church family, which is why we have these food Sundays where we stop and we share food together. And it comes right at the start of our vision statement, a relational people. A relational people. And hospitality is a key way for us to build relationship with each other. And for some of us, it might be tricky to show hospitality in our home for whatever reason. Well, then invite someone out to a cafe for cake. Someone within church recently did this for us. We went for a walk and we had coffee and cake. And for us, that was a real blessing. And we really enjoyed spending time with those people. It's a great way to get to know each other more. And it's still hospitality, whether it's in our home or somewhere else. It's the intentionality of spending time with each other rather than what we feed someone or where we are. And it isn't just about spending time with our friends or those who we know well. Let's be intentional about inviting those who are maybe different from us, maybe people we don't know as well, people at different life stages or backgrounds to us. That's true hospitality, isn't it? And it grows hearts of generosity and sacrifice in us. Who could you look to spend time with within our church family? There's so much more to say on this as a topic. I did do a full talk on hospitality a few years ago. So if it's something that is kind of a new thing for you, that talk is on the website. So have a search for it. I just really encourage you to be thinking about who you can be intentionally spending time with outside of a Sunday. We were recently hosted by someone and they gave us cheese on toast. It was great. I love cheese on toast. It doesn't have to be a fancy meal, all right? We put the pressure on ourselves, I think, sometimes to have perfect homes and perfect food. That's not what it's about. It's about time together. Another way that we can serve each other as a church family is by listening and encouraging each other. Being a good listener is such a gift. It's one that I don't have. I talk too much to be a good listener. But taking the time to sit and listen to someone is an act of service and love. There are people amongst us who are lonely, who are unwell, who are going through all kinds of difficult things. Maybe you could just visit someone or give them a call and just spend time listening, maybe pray for them. Time is precious, isn't it, in our busy world? Time is precious, so giving your time to someone in this way is a gift. And we know a lot of this goes on amongst you already, and it's such a blessing to hear of you caring for each other in this way. And lastly, we can build each other up with our words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And we know that many of you are doing this already. Listening to God for other people and taking the time to encourage someone with a quick text or a phone call or writing a card is an act of service and love as well. Often when I'm walking, I pray for the church and sometimes God pops a name into my head and I might just send them a quick message to ask how they are, or check in with them, or send them an encouragement. And we've also been on the receiving end of this from many of you, sending us encouraging messages or cards. And it's such a blessing to receive, isn't it? We never don't feel good when we get encouraged, do we? It's always a good thing to receive encouragement. And so the gift of encouragement is a real blessing for the church. It's really powerful. It really builds the church up. So if you've got this gift of encouragement, please use it to build up the church. Who could you encourage today? So there's loads of ways that we can serve and encourage each other within the God's family. And today we've looked at serving on a Sunday, which is a really practical way that we can do this. We've looked at offering hospitality, opening up our homes. And we've looked at listening and encouraging each other. So it's like, encourage you to consider your response. If you're interested in joining one of our serving teams, please come and chat to me or Viv. Consider who you can offer hospitality to, or who you can spend time with encouraging in other ways. And of course, there's also lots of ways that we can serve each other and love each other and our communities during the week too. And we know that many of you are involved in lots of different ways of doing this during the week. Just briefly, just to share one story where I heard this week. I ran an Alpha course earlier in the year and had a lovely little group of ladies. And one of the ladies in the group who doesn't come to church very often, but she's just had her fifth child. And a week before her baby was born, her husband broke his foot. So she's having quite a difficult time, as you can imagine, with a newborn, four other small children, and a husband with a broken foot. And so I texted around our Alpha group of ladies who all knew each other and said, how about we just do some meals for this lady? And people responded and said, yes, I'm up for it. And one of the people in our group is someone within this church. I'm not going to mention their name because I don't want to embarrass them. But this person's also having a really difficult time themselves, actually. They've had a lot going on at the moment. But they said, I'll do a meal. And I said, oh, no, you don't need to do one. It's fine. You've got enough going on. She said, no, I want to do this. I want to do this. So even though they're having a difficult time themselves, they've got their own struggles going on, they made a meal for this other family. And I just thought that's such a lovely picture of what it is to serve, isn't it? When it's inconvenient, when it puts us out, when we don't really feel like doing it maybe, but we do it anyway. And it was just a lovely story of this person stepping out and serving and showing God's love to this lady and her family, even though they were having their own really difficult time as well. And that is what serving is, isn't it? It's an act of sacrificial love. This person showed sacrifice this week to do this. It's something that Jesus instructed us to do. It's something we can all do as part of God's family. And as we serve, we grow in humility and love and become more like Jesus, who demonstrated this so well in his earthly life. So just to close, Mark 10:45 says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus showed us the ultimate act of humility and service, didn't he? By his willingness to go to the cross for us. He laid aside his glory, his kingship, and he suffered a criminal's death for our freedom and forgiveness. And there's no greater example of love and sacrifice and service than that. I'm going to just think a bit more about that as we go into communion.